this, I cover the toe.
Review the shackle.
Rabbi Cohn. I think I should say it publicly. Probably, if not Rabbi Cohn, I wouldn't be in Chafetz Chaim. I think that's pretty much true. Over the years, had a great big hashpa on me, and I have tremendous hakaras hatov. We also have tremendous hakaras hatov that he came today. Rabbi Cohn, I mean, I don't know, I don't think he knows what the word vacation means. You know, we went to bring our svarim to the person who was shipping, and we met someone from Alabama. And I said, he said, where are you coming from? He just heard Rabbi Cohn speak. And now I understand he just spoke also here in Ville. So this is, he's just going strong. I don't know. I don't think I had the kayak to do that. So it's a tremendous hakaras hatov to him also that he's taking from his time and energy in his short time in Eretz Yisrael to come to speak to us.
I hope you did get it, that he's makir toyu for being in Chofetz Chaim. That's important to note. Okay. I wonder whether the best use of the time that we have here would be for talking, or maybe for a little bit of conversation and discussion. I think that there are many issues today which need to be addressed. We're living in a generation that has many challenges. I would say that some of the challenges of history have been lessened somewhat, and we have new challenges that maybe we haven't had in history. And some of them are age-old challenges. So we're always under the gun, we're always under fire, and there's always what to talk about. Sai Mitzad being machazik people, and also listening to questions and interacting. I do believe, however, that one of the hallmarks of the yeshiva, and one of the most critical aspects of communication is, forgive me, what Ben Franklin said many years ago. Ben Franklin is quoted to have said, tell me, I'll forget. Show me, I'll remember. Involve me, I'll understand. And since understanding is really what it's all about, information that isn't understood, insights that are really not insightful, facts that I don't really know where they're coming from or where they're going, what it's all about, just regurgitating, you know, things that I heard, doesn't do very much. Understanding is really the critical ingredient of everything in life. Haskel v'yodeo isi is really what the tachlis of the bria is. And understanding comes best from interactive discussion. I've often wondered how come there are people who are significant scholars, talmidei chachomim, and they could say sometimes beautiful shiurim, and sometimes they could say things that seem a little bit, or might be a little bit, I don't know, off, let's say. How could it be? It's impossible, of course. You know, maybe they're not off, but that's besides the point. But I often thought that the reason is very simple. If we are not the products of an interactive system, then a few things happen. Number one, listening to good svaras, good ideas, good concepts, good chidushim, does not necessarily give the person the ability to do the same thing on his own. And even if it does give him that ability, it doesn't train him in the ability to discern between what is good and what is not. That can only come from the interactive experience, where there's a question, where there's an answer, where there's an analysis, where there's back and forth, where there's a communication, and especially with a gifted teacher who, as in the words of the Rashiva's father, Zecharo Livrocha, he creeps into the mind of his Talmud to see where he's off, where he's getting it wrong, and tries to straighten it out. You can't do that with a listening target. Impossible. You can't get into his mind. You have no idea what he's thinking. In fact, it's very possible he's not even paying attention. But when there's interaction, when there's back and forth, then you see, oh, you see, oh, I get it. I see. He's coming from a different perspective. That's why. And, well, look, now I have to show you. Let's retrace the whole thing in this. And that's really where the Ika learning comes from. And I dare say that that's not only to the benefit of the Talmud, that's to the benefit of the Rebbe himself. When Chazal say, mi Talmida yose mi kulam, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Hey, I think we could find it maybe, where it's clear that the Rebbe is growing from the questions of the Talmud. It's not from the preparation of the lecture that I grow. Oh, I prepare this lecture, and even though I know I have these Talmidim, and they're very smart, and they're going to laugh if I don't say something that's intelligent, and they're going to criticize, and they're going to look down, they may even leave me altogether. No, it comes from the chidu, the interaction, the question. Oh, you can't, what do you mean? What is this? And that back and forth is to the ultimate benefit of the Talmidim, and is, I would say, equally to the benefit for the growth of the Rebbe. And that's what it means, mi talmida yosa mikulam, from the chidud, from the back and forth, from the attack, from the insightful questioning and argumentation. That's really the Rebbe, where the Rebbe grows as well. I'll never forget, and it probably happened more than once, when the Olam in the Rosh Hashiva's Blat Shir was on the attack that day very severely. And the Rosh Hashiva always used to like to, you know, make a joke out of some of these things. He says, I don't know what you want from me. Leave me alone. I taught you how to think. Why must you destroy me with it? Why must you attack me with it? It's true. And it was his proudest moment, because that's when you know that you're really succeeding and you have success. So I guess with that introduction, maybe we should have a little conversation. I just made a long speech for an hour straight. I got no more koyach here to make another whole speech. And I think sometimes talking back and forth, questions and answers, and usually every question brings about a little mini speech anyway, so, you know, we could be yoitza both. So, what's on your mind, gentlemen? What? No, no, I'm fine. No, no, I'm just making up excuses. No, no, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Okay. All right. Shkoyach. All right. Yes, sir. What? No, 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 no. What? Water. Yeah, yeah, cold is fine. Cold is better. Go ahead. Doesn't matter, whatever it is, whatever he brings. Go ahead. How do you incorporate bitochen in everyday life? Okay. That's a very long speech, about 2-3 hours worth. So I guess we'll accomplish both. Well, it first starts with emunah. It first starts with emunah. A person has to have it clear that the Borei Olam is involved in every single aspect of our existence. That he cannot do anything. In fact, I have a question. I never got a good answer. Once I saw something, but I don't remember. I don't know why we say we get siyata dishmaya. We don't really get siyata dishmaya, help from heaven. Hashem does everything. He really, it's it. Without him, we can't. Thank you very much. Ain lono yodayim v'raglayim. Nothing. I know about saying it loud with the tape. Anyway. So we everything. Ad kedei kach, that the one area in life that he gave us shlita on, we also can't do it without him. You know what that is? Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim, right? But what do Chazal say about that? B'chol yoyim v'yoyim yitzroi shalodom isgaber alov. V'ilmole ha-kodesh boruch ha-oizra eino yocholoi. The Yetzirah wins every day. Misgaber. If not for Hashem helping us to fight the Yetzir. So even in the Melchemes ha-Yetzir, in the Yira Shomayim, in the Bechira Chovshis, which he gave us, we also need his help. So that's the first recognition. He controls everything. As the Loshon of the Novi in Shmuel says, Ein matzor la'Hashem miloshia berav b'ma'at. Nothing stands in his way. There's nothing that prevents Hashem from doing everything in this world. If that isn't clear, then, and that's really what the Rishonim say, Bekitzer, the Ramban, and the Emunah Bitochen, and others, Kol habiteach ma'amin. Anyone who has Bitochen must be a ma'amin, because it's not shayach to have bitochen. Who are you trusting in? Why are you trusting in him? On what basis do you trust him? So, first needs a very clear chizuk of emunah. That means to recognize the chesed Hashem, to recognize Hashem's rachmonis. David HaMelech started his Musar Haskel for bitochen by vani b'chastecho botachti. I trust in the chesed Hashem. It's all about the chesed Hashem. It's all about his rachamim. Ad heino azavunu rachamecho v'lo yazavunu chasodecho. How does it say? Atu Hashem lo yisichlo rachamecho mimeni chastecho v'amitcho tomid yitzruni. Those things are critical in the world of emunah to be able to begin the process of bitochen. But now I see it, I know it, I reviewed it again. Hashgacha Pratis, a person has to focus constantly seeing the Yad Hashem in everything in life. So that gives me the full, deep-rooted awareness of Hashem's involvement in our lives and the chesed that he does. And then I could begin the process of developing this greater sense of optimism and hope and trust and recognition of everything that he does and all the chesed and hatova and so forth. So that's the first step. But then, a person also has to realize, and I think this is something that sometimes we tend to forget. You know, the Mishnah says, "Asei ritzoyne kirtzoynecho, kidei sheyase ritzoyncho kirtzoynoi." Do the rotzen Hashem as if it was your rotzen. Very high level. Avraham Avinu, it says by Avraham Avinu, "V'rotzo lishchoy toisoy kidei lasus ritzoynecho." He wanted to shecht his only son Yitzchok just to be able to do the will of Hashem. "Asei ritzoynoi kirtzoynecho." Why? Kidei sheyase ritzoyncho kirtzoynoi. That he should do my will as if it was his will. I never heard something so cheap in my life. Reach the highest levels of shleimus of doing ritzoyne kirtzoynecho. So you should be able to get that new car that you wanted. Or bicycle. Or roller skates. Or chewing gum. Whatever it is you may want. I say ritzoyne kirtzoynecho kidei. Sheyase ritzoyncho kirtzoynei. Stipshat. So I believe, and I think it's said too, but I never really saw it. I heard about it, but I came up with this idea many years ago, that really we don't have a full perspective on what Hashem wants. Hashem created the world with chesed. Olam chesed yibone. Even the Bereishis Bora Elokim, which is the Midas HaDin, was only because Din is the greatest chesed. Why is Din the greatest chesed? What? What's that? Well, that two, what? Okay, but the Gemara says that because of Nama de Kisufa. If I would get what I didn't earn, it would be embarrassing. It certainly wouldn't be appreciated. So Mishpat, the fact that I can earn, is what really makes it the true chesed. What's the highest form of tzedakah that you could give a person? A job. Because then he can earn it. You didn't give him any hatova, just gave him an opportunity. So Abreishis Boreh Lekim, even the Mishpat was chesed. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mishatif with it. Rashi says, HaBiyoy Masayis Hashem Elokim, he was mishatif the Midas HaRahikdim, Midas HaRachamim, Vishotfoy Midas HaDin. He made it that the Midas HaRachamim is also part of the Din. So even in the Rachamim, there's an element of Din, so you earned it. However, sometimes we can't earn it. With the Arachamim, with the Mishpona, with the Rachamim, I still don't earn it. What do I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many, many alternative routes. One of the alternative routes is Mido Keneged Mido. You didn't earn it be'emes in your Sachakoil, in the judgment on Yom Kippur, one against the other, you may not have earned it. But you know something? Mido Keneged Mido. You did Ritzoyni Kirtzoynecho? Now I have to do Ritzoyni. And the emesis, that's what I want. I want you to have that bicycle. I want you to have the new car. I want you to have the chewing gum. I want you to have every single aspect of Hanoah that your heart desires. Except those that might be bad for you. And sometimes if you have enough trust in me, I might even turn that around and make it good for you. But that's besides the point. That's another discussion. But that's what Hashem wants. Hashem is only chesed. So it's not cheap. That's enabling HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill the Olam Chesed Yibone on the highest level. This is what he wants to do. This is what he wants to give us. I think that's a prerequisite for bitochon, to understand how much Hashem wants. He wants to give us what we want even more than we want it. Now, he has rules, and those rules are also only for our benefit, and only because of chesed, and only because of the desire, kaviyochol, or the metzius of being native in the world. But once I realize that not only is he on my side, he's rooting for me more than I even root for myself, it becomes a little bit easier to start to trust, you know. Things are looking a little bit strange, things are looking a little bit tight, things are looking a little bit difficult, but I know he wants it. I know he wants to help me. I know how much I want it. I know he knows how much I want it. And the mela, I could start to begin to think that, yeah, you know something? I just feel it. He's not going to let me down. Now, bitochon is not logical. It's emotional. The illogic of bitochon is one illogic. What's the illogic? Shem agor amachet. Maybe I don't deserve it, right? Maybe I don't deserve it. Hashem wants to give me what I deserve. What I deserve is really the ultimate chesed, and says many other cheshbonos too, so maybe I don't deserve it. The bitochin says, you know, maybe I don't deserve it, but I know how much Hashem wants to do it, and I know how much I want it, and I know how much He knows how much I want, and I know how much He wants to satisfy my will. David HaMelech even added a dimension. He said, Elokai b'cho botachti alei voisho. He says, I trust in you. Don't let me be embarrassed. I know he doesn't want me to be embarrassed. I'm counting on him. I have no one else to count on. I know that the hishtadlus doesn't do anything. That's just the chiyuv to do hishtadlus. It's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. But it's all the chesed Hashem. And I'm counting on that chesed. A feeling comes and says, despite the fact that I may not deserve it, but Hashem gives, Chazal tell us, Rabbi Machovim L'Rosho V'Avoteach B'Hashem Chesed Yisovevenu. Afilo Rosho U'Boiteach B'Hashem Chesed Yisovevenu. Even if he's not deserving. If he really rises to the level of Bitochen, Chesed Yisovevenu. And I must tell you that that's not a B'diyeved, B'mikre. It happens Amol occasionally. There's a Medrash Shochar Toiv that says that Klal Yisroel comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I says that, Go aloisono, we have tzoros, we're bitzar, go aloisono, please redeem us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks, Yesh bochem yirei shomayim? Do you have any yirei shomayim in your midst? So Klal Yisrael answers, Lisha ovar, we used to. And they list Moshe, who they list? Yaakov, Moshe, Shmuel, David, I think those are the four, but you know, from that class. Okay? So, but now we're getting worse and worse every generation. We keep going down. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll tell you what you should do. Betach bishmi! And I'll take care of you. V'loma, say Chazal, shekol ha-boiteach ba-HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matziloi. Now here you see something very interesting. By their own admission, Klal Yisrael does not have Yirei Shemayim. No Yirei Shemayim. The last contact we have with true Yirei Shemayim was David and Shmuel. And so I says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I'm going to give you an Eitzah. Not that, you know, Mele, if you get it, okay, we'll sneak you into the Parsha. Push the Eitzah. Happy Tochon. And even without the Yirei Shemayim, you'll be able. Shekol HaBoiteach Bishmi. So, I guess what I'm trying to answer your question is that these are the thoughts that we have to have. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's work. It's constant focus. It's reviewing it again. It's taking it. It's things that happen. The Goyin says, if you want to develop bitochon, you have to think, Adheinu Azarunu Rachamecho. Until now, everything you did for me was only rachamim, not because I deserved it. V'lo yazavunu chasodecho, and you didn't forsake me, was only because of chesed. And then he puts it, he says, lochein anachtu betuchim she'altet sheno lenetzach. Because if what you did for me until now was because I deserved it, maybe today I no longer deserve it. So how can I be sure you're going to do it for me? But if what you did for me yesterday was because of chesed and rachamim, not because I deserved, and what you did for me is all chesed, rachamim, everything throughout my life, Hashem doesn't change. Ani Hashem lo yisholisi. Hashem is a constant. We're the ones that go up and down. So if ad heino azaru, now this isn't logical either, because maybe today I deserve it even less. But it's emotional. I look at that and I say, everything in my life was chesed. Review all the stories of chesed, of ashkocha protis, everything that ever happened in my life. And if you run out of stories, everything that happened in your friend's life, and everything that happened in your parents' life, and everything that happened in your grandparents' life. And eventually, look what Hashem does. And not necessarily did we deserve these things. That helps me to develop the sense that he's also going to help me. No, does not say that. He says a myrid. And even that, he probably means he can't. That wouldn't help. And that's a myrid. If you look over there, it's a question. I know what you're referring to. It's a question. I had to say it dramatically. But he does not say that he can't. No. It's his first. And he's talking about a person who's myrid. You see from the psukim he brings that he's. That's and even that. Chazal say, I feel the Rosh of Atech, Hashem, Chesed, the Chofetz Chaim brings that. In numerous places, I used to have to this morning, I had the letter with me. What? That the Bochar Azetza put in on Chuldiknir. You hear? I believe. What? What's that? That's right. He said, how do you know that? Oh, that's what I say. I said, I didn't. I just said that there's somebody added that. That's not the Lord Kapitan. The Chofetz Chaim didn't write that. Okay, anyway, let's not debate that right now. Anyway, so these are. What? Well, he didn't ask for level one. He asked for bitochen, you know what I mean? I'm not jumping. If you do this, you have to do this a long time until you even begin the process. Yeah. Okay, so what do you want?
No, I thought. Okay.
What he means is as follows. The Reb Avrom ben Arambam. Let me finish this one first before we go back. We'll go back. We'll work backwards, okay? At this point, it behooves me to tell you a story, okay? It's a story that must be told every time someone has the audacity to make such a speech, which my dear son over there objects to. And he doesn't object. He says it nicely. He says, well, isn't there things before this? You know, fine. So, but this is a story. It's a famous story. It used to be found on the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva calendar. Where else it's brought, I don't know. But I heard it from the Rosh Yeshiva. I heard it from the Rosh Yeshiva many times. And it's Yodua in the Veld. Everybody knows, I think, in the Navardika Kuntras, I think it's also brought in the Navardikas. Oh, no, I'm not sure. So that somebody came to Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, and he said, I'm in terrible, dire straits. I need 10,000 rubles, $10,000, whatever the currency was. And what should I do? He says, buy a lottery ticket and have bitochin that you're going to win. Be confident 100% that you're going to win, and no problem. It's one of those tickets that you could keep on, entering with. And weeks go by, and finally, he's getting a little bit desperate, and he comes back to Rabbi Yisrael, and he says, it doesn't work. What did you tell me? He says, do you have bitochen 100%? He says, yes. Do you still have bitochen 100%? Yeah. Will you sell me the ticket for 5,000? Yeah. Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? See, it's very easy to fool ourselves. The Chazon Ish writes about people who sing the Shiras HaBitochon. Guy has a beautiful business. He's matzliach and everybody's coming to his business day and night and this. He can't even handle all the business he has. All of a sudden, across the street, a competitor moves in. He's ois mensch. Oi, oi, Rabbeinu Shalom, what's going to happen? This guy's going to destroy me in this. And he says, what happened to the Shiras HaBitochoi? It was a song. It wasn't a reality. So it has to be a reality. And it's very easy to fool ourselves. And for that reason, my son, Zol Gesunden Stark Sein, says that I really should have started at the bottom. Okay? So now let's go back to the bottom. The Rabbi Avrom ben Arambam in the Sefer HaMaspik Lo'evdei Hashem says that there are different levels of bitochon. And one of the lowest level that he starts with, there seems to be even a lower level, but one that he starts with is what he calls kivui, yichul, tzipui, and chikui. They're all four lishonos of hope, awaiting, anticipating, that type of thing. Kivu, kavi el Hashem, Mitzapim Lishua, Yachel Yisrael El Hashem, and what's the other one? Chikoy, Kimachakim Anachnu Loch, all the shyness of hope and wait. Says, that's the first level. What's the difference between this level and higher levels? At this level, I can't say that I'm sure, but it's a very fine difference because I refuse to give up. I'm waiting for the Yeshua. I can't swear that it's going to come. But you know something? I sure am not giving up. I refuse to be Me'ayish. I refuse to give up hope. And in reality, that level eventually leads a person. You know, if you refuse to give up hope long enough, it's going to transpose or transform itself into a certain level of confidence, because otherwise how do you keep on hoping when so much time went by and it didn't happen? But that's a lower level, and it seems that that level too is an entitlement to get the thing that we hope for. Because many of the psukim say, even the last one, Yehichasticho Hashem Oleinu Ka'asher, not Botachnu Boch, Kasher, Yichalnu Loch, what is it? Yeah. So Yichul. So in other words, even the hoping, but the unshattered, untampered, undisturbed, refusing to be Miyayish hope, also entitles a person to get chesed. Now, there's one more thing, and I wish I would have had, but I refer you to the Chofetz Chaim in the Machne Yisrael, where he has a letter there to a piece there for the soldiers, and he talks about bitochen, and he says that he mentions there that, you know, ein Hashem el yireov lam yachalim lechastoy, even those that are not yireov, if they have this yichul, then Hashem will help them too. And then at the end he says, he brings Rabbi Machoiv the Rosh Avatech Hashem Tesim Sevenu, but then he says ukefi goydel habitochen kach goydel ha-hatzlocha. A very important point. What does that mean? It means like this. Bitochen is not an all or nothing thing. If you get it 100%, then you're assured to get the results. If you don't have 100%, you ain't got nothing. Keep working, don't give up. It's worth every bot, but nothing's happening. No. He says there's a measurement. Kefi goydel ha-bitochen, kach goydel ha-hatzlocha. If my bitochen rises to a level of 2, let's make it 2 out of 10, not 2 out of 100, okay? If it rises to a level of 2, then the hatzlocha will be commensurate with that. I will have hatzlocha. I may not get everything exactly the way I wanted it, but it's never wasted. It's never wasted. Kefi goydel habitochen, my effort for bitochen, which is just minuscule, minimal, I do a little bit, kach goydel hatzlocha, the hatzlocha will be accordingly. So therefore, it's really a win-win kind of a situation. You can't go wrong with it. It works wonders. But I want to share with you a story. And to me, it was a very significant story. And since the statute of limitations is over, I'm not afraid to tell you this story. Eschatoi ani mazkir hayoim. It happened once upon a time. Chas v'sholem, I don't do such things. But once upon a time, I was young, foolish, talking about bitochen, desperate. We had Shiva in the San Fernando Valley, and it was the first payroll of the year. It was like a $30,000 payroll, or I was $30,000 short, I don't remember. And I didn't have anything. But I do remember that I felt this strong sense of bitochen. I was sure that Hashem is there. And I knew I had to give out the payroll on Monday because there were new teachers and this, the secular teachers and this, and they're going to be up in arms and the whole thing is good. I'm going to be in big trouble. So I took this bitochen, which I tell you today I wouldn't do, and I tell you today I shouldn't have done, and I tell you today that it's not permissible to do, and I gave out the payroll. Now, those days, we're talking maybe close to 40 years, 35 years ago, it took a little longer till money clears the bank. Today, don't you dare write a check until the money is already cleared, because they clear it in 24 seconds, not 24 hours, you know. Everything is electronically today. But those days, you used to have to send the check to the other bank in the mail, and would take it, or maybe they had couriers. I don't know what they did. But, you know, so you had to float for a couple of days until, anyway. I gave out this $30,000 overage, which I didn't have. But I tell you, I never felt such a strong bitachon. Next morning, I'm leaving the house, and I was asked, what are you going to do? I says, no clue. But I know I never had such a strong sense of confidence that Hashem is not going to let me down. I finished the shiur, I went to the office, the mailman had already arrived. Usually the mailman knew every day how much we needed. I used to ask the mailman, how do you know exactly what I need each day? But goldish, nothing showed up, no money. I knew that by this afternoon I have to start putting money in the bank, otherwise it's going to be a problem. I call up a friend of mine and I say, you got to give me, lend me anything, I don't care what, $30,000, I'm in big trouble. I gave this out, I had bitochon, and it didn't work. I promise I'll never do it again. But foolishness of youth. Anyway, he says, I got $10,000 I can lend you for a week. That's all. I said, I don't get it. I never felt such a strong sense that Hashem wasn't going to let me down. And yet, it didn't happen. Well, I didn't wait for the answer. I thought of an answer myself. I said, I got it. Munafshach. He says, if I'm fooling myself, you know, like I take five, then there's no kasha why he's not helping me. I don't have any bitochon. It's a bluff. It's all singing the songs, you know, talking the talk, not walking the walk. Elamai, I reached a new level that I never achieved before. Guess what? He's giving me a harder test. On the next level, you get a harder test. Hung up the phone, and I walked back and forth in the hallway for 7 minutes. I remember looking at my watch, singing every song of Bitochon and thinking every story and everything that ever happened. Baruch HaGever SheYiftach BaHashem Hinei Keil Yishuos YeFtach V'lo Yefod. One, whatever it is, 7 minutes. I walk into the office. There was a young man who was working for us selling. We had inherited an estate, and there was some what they called nylon webbing. It was like heavy rope webbing that you use in moving trucks, and they tie things in, you know, so they shouldn't move. He was trying to sell it off for us. He'd make a couple of bucks from this Yerusha. He says, I just concluded a deal with a goy in Seattle. We were in Los Angeles, who used to be a customer of this person who passed away and left us this estate. He says, he's buying $30,000 worth of the nylon webbing. He's sending us a bank check, FedEx, by tomorrow morning, 10:30, for $20,000. If you know anything about business, you know how absurd that is. A couple of yeshiva bachos who don't know from nothing, he doesn't even know us, he's sending $20,000 certified funds before he even sees the schayra. And he says, as soon as you deliver the schayra, I'll send you the other 10. So I borrowed the 10 from my friend for a week. The next day I was able to get the 20. And why should I tell that story? You should never do such things. I don't do such things. I did tshuva for it many times over. But see, the point is, though, that it's a serious endeavor. And sometimes when I think I got it, I maybe really don't have it as much as I have. And I have to use it to reach the next level. So it's a lifetime work. It's a lifetime avuda. It's a lifetime endeavor and effort. But it's worth it. The two benefits that are supreme that one gets from entering the world, the universe of bitochon. Number one is influence. Kefi gadol habitochon, kach gadol ha'atzlocha. And number two is menuchas ha'nefesh. Oy, menuchas ha'nefesh. The Rebbeinu Shalom is taking care of everything. There's nothing to worry about. It's not my business. He'll take care of it all. I refuse to give up hope. I refuse to. In fact, Rashi says, on vishavtem lo vetach ba'artzechem, Rashi says, betach is a loshen shaloi tidagu. You won't worry. Bitochon, security, is the absence of worry. That's what it is. Stress. And stress, by the way, is the number one killer in the world. Disease and mental health issues and everything. Stress. And you won't be stressed. Just trusting in the Rebbeinu Shalom. And secondly, it makes a difference in what happens. Oi. Let me see if I asked you that question, what you might come up with a creative answer to answer that question. Doesn't mean anything. Huh? Anybody think of anything? He says, what if it's not good for you? No, but according to my thesis, that it's going to happen. If you have 100%, it will happen. So he says, I have 100% because the thing is not good for me, so bad is going to happen. I estate lo yagur choro, kol mad over achmol letav of it. Come on. The what?
Isn't there machlokes I thought between?
Just know where you're going now. Go ahead.
I thought
you did.
I thought between the Chazon Ish and maybe the Chafetz Chaim about whether to believe if you want something to happen, you have 100% that's going to happen. Whether that's.
You mean the Chazon Ish denies that?
Hillel
Azok, Tana Rabbon, and Hoyba, by there, for Omar, Komoch, Kol Svocho, Vishoma, Ainsa, Omar, Tuachan, Ainsa, Basi, Zok, the Gemara, Mishmor, or the Yiro. What the Chazanish do with the Gemara? Chazanish says, you know the Losh of the Chazanish? Toyo, Stoyshenes, this Azucho, Bidas, Leod of the Musa Gabitochel. It's an old mistake in the Musa Gabitochel that Chazal had, that Hillel had, that the Vilna Goyin had, that the Rabbi Rambam had, that. And the Chazon Ish himself writes in 100 places that according to your bitochon, you're going to have bitochon, Hashem will help you. And he writes in the same maimer at the very end, yes, oy, maybe this habitochon, that something, a mevasra ruach, oy, something from within just helps him, shebevada yazreo Hashem, im tachane olay machane lo yiro libi.
So, what do you say about that?
See, I was prepared for that question. Yeah, so what?
There were something about, I don't know, people nowadays can't have Kobi Kappa.
I just asked you, he's disagreeing with the whole world. And you know, it's one thing if you want to disagree. Tois, Noishenes, Nisazo, Kobinah. The Chazon Ish is standing saying everybody made a mistake. The Chazon Ish wouldn't say that the Chofetz Chaim made a mistake. The Chazon Ish once got a telegram from the Chofetz Chaim and said that this is an inyan of Pikuach Nefesh, and he sent Shmuel Greinemann out on Yontif to go travel by Lishtate. His words were, Ishtaten Mishnebrura, that it's Pikuach Nefesh. A telegram. Could have been another. He could have gone the day after Yontif. Ishtaten Mishnebrura. The Chazon Ish would say, "Ooh, Tois No Shenes." The Chofetz Chaim is, and the Chofetz Chaim says, "Beferish," in so many different places, and so did the Rishonim, the Goyin, on that Gemara of Hillel. The Goyin says, you find Tzadikim suffer. How could it be? But Tuach Ani Shen says, "Betoich Beisi." So he says, "Hakol Lefi Oimetz Bitchoinoi Bashem." Everything is Lefi the level of Bitochon. Tois No Shenes.
Ready to say that, but what do you think? I'm going to stand here like this and not say what I think it means?
There's two words that nobody reads there. Let me say it again. I purposely left them out. Tois noishenes nisazuch bedask beleyodo bemusak habitochoin. And then there's a line there that just repeats a little bit. I don't remember. Kechoivo lehaamin. Do you know what the Chazon Ish says? I just told you. What? Oh, so what's the mistake? What? No. What is the, he says the toast is in Musa Kabitochen Kechoiva Lahamin. What does that mean? The Chazon Ish, I believe, says different from the Chofetz Chaim, I believe, and different from many others. Maybe they agree, maybe they don't, maybe the machlekes is minimal, I don't know exactly. But he says it's not a chiyuv. You can't be mechayev a person to be sure that everything's going to work out the way he wants. Why? He says, the miyodei mishpatei Hashem u'gvaloisov yisborach. He says, we don't know the mishpatei Hashem, which means that it isn't rational. Rationally speaking, how can you tell a person to be sure it's going to work out? You don't know what Hashem has in mind. Forget even your point. He doesn't even mention that. Maybe it's not even good for you. I'll tell you in a moment what I think. I didn't forget about it. You know, but miyodei mishpatei Hashem, how could you say it's rational? You can't tell a person to be a rational human being and to say, be sure that it's going to work out.
Wait, what? You explained before why it's rational.
No, it's emotional. I said the word clearly here. Check. I said it's emotional. It's emotional. I didn't go into the distinction, but you can't do everything at once, you know what I mean? But anyway, so he says it's not rational because miyodei mishpatei Hashem. However, the avoides habitochoin on some level is not on the lowest level. I think the Chazon Ish is talking about the lowest level, which is the chiyuv. You're not mechuyev to be on the level where I'm sure it's going to work out. You're mechuyev to be on the level to know that everything is from Hashem. A mikre lefonov, that's one of the lashonis he uses there. There's no accidents. That's the lowest level. That's what I meant to insinuate before, that the Rebbe Avraham ben Arambam starts with kivui, but there seems to be a level that's even below that. And that's what the Chazon Ish refers to. But he says the tos is kechuyev alaham. Those people who say you're mechuyev to reach this bitochen of absolute confidence, he disagrees with. But he doesn't disagree that Hillel had it. He doesn't disagree that the Goyin said it. He didn't. He wasn't oblivious to the whole Sefer Tilim, where David HaMelech repeats it hundreds of times. V'ani b'chastecho b'tachti yogei libi u'leman zeh bitochen yogei libi b'shuasecho, even before it happens. Or shir Hashem ki goma lalai, that's after the fact. He doesn't dispute that. What? So I'll tell you, I just referred to a conversation today. Somebody asked me something. I don't remember what it was. But I just referred to a conversation I had with the Rosh Yeshiva Zecharenu Livrocha many years ago. I asked him, I said, how come he's not makpid on the Chazon Ish's chumrah in Sukkah? So he said to me as follows. He says, I'm working on the Mishnah Berurah first. When I finish the whole Mishnah Berurah and feel that I'm keeping it 100% the way it should be, then I'll consider the chumras of the Chazon Ish. So I would say, I'm working on the Mishnah Berurah in this one here, who clearly indicates that this is what we should do. This is not a chumra, it's the opposite maybe even here. But, you know, listen, if we can't do, if you can only do like the Chazon Ish, so you do it the Chazon Ish. Agav, I've discussed, and my children have discussed with many G'dayli Olam, most people recognize that it's an Indian of Madrega. It's not an Indian of absolute. That he's just saying that this is not, you know, the Chiyuv. This is like the lower level. Because if you look at the end of that whole Maimer, he says, Yesh oy mimi des habitochon, and he discusses this other sense of, you know, something from within just announces. Anyway, all right, is there, we finished? Do we have anything else to discuss? Oh, yes. Yeah. Could you come up with an answer now? I gave you a lot of time. Oh, you can't do two things at once? I'm surprised at you. So I would suggest to you that, you know, Hayad Hashem Tiktzor, Hashem can make it good for you. Since there's a koyach in the Bria of Bitochin, and since Habiteach Bashem Chesed Yisivavere, and since Misha, the Lashon of the Meiri is Habiteach Bashem Ein Toicheles Shaloi Nichzevo, he will not allow that hope to be disappointed, then something which otherwise wouldn't have been for your good, he'll make it for your good. But I would like to put a footnote to that. And that is as follows. And this is a recommendation. I don't know exactly the Gedorim. I don't know exactly where it says it. Don't get too specific with your bitochon if you could help it. If you have to cover your payroll, you have to cover your payroll. You got to have bitochen as much as you can because you got to do it. If you got to support your family, you have to have bitochen because I got to support my family. But when it comes to specifics, I got to have this shidduch. This is the one. It must be this. I have bitochen b'Hashem. It might work, but it might be not what's best, and you might need derech nes to make it work. Forget the possibility that it may not work well, but. And therefore, you're going to use up your schusim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to rely on Nisim. He doesn't want to use up the bank account that he has for us. He wants to pay us in emes, which is the real currency, which is the eternal currency, which is really where the good stuff is. And the mele, when you get to, this business deal must go through. No, and I'll tell you something else. He knows better than you. You don't really want this deal to go through. You know what you want? You want money. Okay, I'll give you money. But the more specific you're forcing his hand, and bitochen, in a sense, is a means that he gave us where under certain circumstances, in certain situations, we can, so to speak, sort of force his hand, then we got to be careful, because if we force him into a situation where he's going to have to be mahapet the whole teva, and this was the mazel. It was called out pleni ben pleni, the plenis bas pleni. And now, with your bitochen, you want to change it. Be careful. Happy talking, you get a good shidduch. Chazon Ish says you should be mispal for seichel, bori v'yosher, taras halev, shleimus hamidos. I'm relying on that. Don't get too specific. It doesn't have the same thing in a business deal, the same thing in a lot of other things.
Does Hashem want us to be mezaveh and have to tell him for gashmias, or only if we do, even though we shouldn't, that Hashem won't give it to us because he wants to make us happy?
Well, the Rosh Hashiva used to quote, I think it was also in the Yeshiva calendar, I'm not sure, but the Rosh Hashiva used to quote the Machlekes, the Rashash, and the Yisrael Salanta. Says they had a Machlekes about whether Bitochen helps for luxury as well. Just akin to what you're talking about, you think, no? Luxury, this is not necessities of life. Necessity of life is a Haftocha. Peseches Yodecho Umasbia Lechol Chai Rotzen. He does it. Chazal say he signs the checks himself. Gedoyle Parnosa Yoyse Megeula, Shegeula Lefomim is Ayyadei Malach, Shnema Hamalach Agoyleisi. Parnosas Ayyadei Akodesh Boruch, Shenema Peseches Yodecho. He gives it himself. He signs the checks himself. But other things, anyway, but luxury. So Rabbi Yisrael said, Bitochon helps for luxury too, and the Rosh Hashanah was vehemently against it. So Rabbi Yisrael said, I'm going to prove it to you. Don't ask me. I don't know how he proves it, and I don't know how you prove a halacha from this. But this is the story. I heard from the Rosh Hashiva. Anyway, here. So he says, I have bitochen, I'm going to have a gold watch. Get a gold watch. Story goes that there was a ship out at sea, and the captain is there, and he's leading the ship, whatever captains do to ships, and there was a big storm. And it was a very dangerous, dire situation. So the captain, I guess, goes up on the deck and says, Rabbeinu Shalom, he says, if you stop this storm and get us to port safely, I'm going to take my gold watch and give it to the rabbi of the community. The storm stops. They get to the port safely. The captain goes in looking for the rabbi, comes into the Rosh Hashanah. So anyway, this is heavy stuff. It works. Oy, does it work? Does it work? But I want to tell you one thing. What's that? Who? Let's not get into that, because I think there may be, I don't know this Olam well enough, but there may be things that you should work on before that. What? I don't know. I believe that when you use bitochen, if you overdo it, you may be using certain spusim if you evoke nisim. But this is just my own theory. But if not derech nes, you're not, because the spus habitochen is the greatest spus in the world. So maybe you're riding off the spus of the bitochen, you don't have to use up. Potech b'ashem. That's the Remer Simcha says. No. Remer Simcha says in the Meshech Chochma, he says the source for the mitzvah bitochen in the Torah is Uboy Sidbok. Yodovuk Pashem. That Dveikus Pashem is the Tachlis. Ki Ashlemus Amiti U Advekus Bo Yisborach. And bitochen is the greatest Dveikus. In this world, I'm right now. I'm Dovuk Bakodesh Baruch Hu. I'm not even just asking him. I'm relying on him. You know the Oravif. Why you get me started over here? The Orachaim HaKodesh in Parshas Meshalach, where they're standing by the Yamsuf, and Klal Yisrael is here. There's wild animals on both sides. The Yamsuf is here, and Paro is pursuing over here. And Moshe Rabbeinu is, Klal Yisrael is complaining, and Moshe Rabbeinu is calling out to Hashem. Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Ma titzak elai? Dabar el bnei Yisrael v'yisol. So the Orachaim asks, he says, Ma titzak elai? To whom should I cry? What kind of talk is that? Matitzak elai. Who would you like me to call out to? So the Chaim says that in this particular matzav, because of what happened in Mitzrayim, and this, there was a kitrig on Klal Yisrael. The Sotan had a kitrig, and the Sotan was able to interfere with the Kabbalah's Tfilah. Tfilah would not have helped in this situation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him, Dabra b'nei Yisrael v'yiso, but in the schus of your emunah and bitochin, that you go into this raging sea before it splits, in that schus, you're going to be able to be saved, even when tefillah couldn't help you. That's the koyach, that's the power of bitochin, he says. Okay, gentlemen, enough is enough. I mean, no, it's never enough bitochin. Anything else? Did we answer that? Yeah, he'll make it good. Yeah, okay, what? Well, that's what nace means, yeah. Nace means, the teva, nace means a banner. When the teva, we don't see Hashem operating because it looks like everything is natural. The sun rises in the morning. The sun sets at night, right? But nes means the teva is the cover is taken away and we see Hashem. We see His actions. We see that's the proclamation of Hashem. That's what. Something else? Okay, what? The Gro, what's the Sefer the Gro on Imrei Bino Imrei? There's a Pirush HaGro on Brochus, and right on that Gemara he says that. I mean, it's I don't know the Chofetz Chaim over there. No, the Gro doesn't say Kefi this. It's the same idea. In other words, Bitochen helps under all circumstances. That's what the Gro says. He compares the Gemara to Reb Chanina ben Doisa with Kshofim, you know, that she says she wants to kill him with Kshofim. He says, Einod Mavado Iksiva, the Nefesh HaChaim there explains that it wasn't he was relying on Shiny Reb Chanin, the Nefesh Shusim, not that he's relying on his Shusim, but he had such a focus on his Einod Mavado and on his Bitochim Bashem that even Kshofim that have a Koyach Makhishim Palim Malin Shomailo couldn't affect him. On the one hand, Chemdas Moment is a very serious thing. On the other hand, Al Shloisha Dvorim Oilam Oimid, Al Gelt, Al Gelt, Al Gelt. No? Doesn't it say that? I don't know where you come from, what you're doing, but I do know that I do believe that we have to go slowly in our Avodas Hashem. If we jump, the Goyin writes that, what is it? You know the quote. No, didn't you mention it recently? The Goyin writes that if a person skips too fast, he's a choite, and he's held responsible. No, didn't you quote that to me?
People ask why they don't have Siyat HaShemayim. Yeah. All the Torah. Yeah. It says because they weren't.
That's right. It says they don't have the Siyat. No, he says also the choite. He says, so we got to be careful. We got to go step by step. We got to know what madrega we're holding. We shouldn't jump too fast. To faster, ruba loy to faster. If we go slow and steady, wins the race. If we keep growing and growing and growing, we'll get there. Now, I must admit, are these owned by friend or foe? See, this one I control. This I don't. I must admit. Wait a second. Now you're looking for trouble. Is there a late minion by you for Myra? When's the latest minion? What?
12 o'clock.
Okay, good. All right. See here. I must admit that I did coin that phrase. I must admit. And I'll tell you when I coined that phrase. I once went over to the yeshiva, Zichrono Livracha, and I said, you have the worst yeshiva in the world. B'zeh Haloshon. But you also have the best one. What's coming next? Because you have the only one. And I must have said it to him a few times, but after the first time, it didn't have that, you know, he knew the punchline. So, like, what's the... So let me tell you a little story, a little personal story. I came to the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva in 1959. I wasn't born yet. Yeah. that year, by 1960, by Pesach time, Rabbi Scheinberg, who was the mashkiach in the yeshiva, had left the yeshiva to start his own yeshiva. And he was starting in Elul, he was starting yeshiva, and I was very friendly with him. He used to spend the whole day in the Bis Medrash. I knew him at that point much better than the Rosh Yeshiva, and I liked him. He was good, he had a good sense of humor. I like a sense of humor. The Rosh Yeshiva had a good sense of humor too, but I didn't know him as much at that point. And you know, so there was discussion, maybe I'll go join with him. And his chevra were trying to talk to me. Yeah, go, be such a wonderful yeshiva. And the Rosh Yeshiva's chevra, there were about four Yungalite in the Koilin at the time, and they were talking, oh, the Rosh Yeshiva's blatcha, there's nothing like it in the whole world, you gotta go to the Rosh, if you don't have the Rosh Yeshiva's blatcha, you'll never learn how to learn. You go, oh, yeah. Thank you. So, I was a little confused. I told you, I was a little baby. So I was a little confused. So, maybe I should tell you how young I really was, because you'll think I was older than that. But anyway, yeah, so that summer, I was a counselor in camp, in Camp Monk, and I had a day off, and the Rosh Yeshiva was mamish down the road at some little egg farm. He had a little private cottage there with him and his Lebetzin and his aunt. So I went to visit him. And I was pretty sincere. And I asked him, I said, you know, all your chevra have been talking to me and about yeshiva. And I was very open with him. I said, is it true that the Rosh Yeshiva is the only one who knows how to learn? That's almost as bad as the only yeshiva, you know what I mean? And to his face, noch. Yeah. It's just because the way these guys talk, you know, this was 1960, the Baron Kotler was still alive, and Reb Moshe, and they were G'day Le'olam. And the truth is, he had my life in the palm of his hand. Had he answered in the affirmative, did I mention it was an egg farm? Yeah, all the eggs would have been broken. I would have been out of there in the fastest, swiftest movement possible, and who knows what would have happened to all the eggs. But Baruch Hashem, he didn't. He said, no, chas v'shalom. He says, my father, he always blended on his father, you know. My father had one unique talent, very special talent, and that was what he called at the time, I never heard the word before, pedagogy. He said he had an approach to teaching which could maximize the ability of a Rebbe to teach Talmidim how to think, how to analyze, how to understand what's going on, how to really develop the tools of learning to be able to become a Lumden in his own right. He says, in that, my father had a very, very special gift, and I try, Bez Hashem, to follow in that Mahalach. To me, I didn't understand what all that meant, including the word pedagogy, but it was enough to, you know, okay, I could hear that. You tell me you're the only one in the world who knows how to learn, I couldn't buy that. But you say you got a special skill that you inherited from your father, I was able to hear that. I said, okay, we'll give it a chance. And I have to tell you that what I have come to see in the world in the subsequent few years since 1960 bears that out elef alofim and beyond times. I see that the Rosh Yeshiva had this special skill of, as his father put it, creeping into the brain and seeing, special skill of teaching tools of analysis, of language skills, of reading, of the sequence, what he used to call, I used to hate the word, the assembly line, but the sequence in the sugya, everything has to fit, and all of these things I saw, and I saw that this was, it's unique, very few people do it, not that there aren't yechidim, and it's very powerful, and it really works, and I discovered later on that this was really the secret of what had been done in previous generations. I got very close. I got to know one of the Rosh Yeshivas, Rabbi Yankov Yaffin. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Nevardik, Goyin Olam. And his father was one of the Gedolei Hador as well. And he told me, he says, where did he learn how to learn? He says, in the summers, they used to go to some place, you know, where Baruch Be'er was there for the summer, and he said, and I spent the whole day talking and learning with her Baruch Be'er. I heard, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will, that when the Baruch Be'er's son was in, passed away, so Yashiv came to be Menachem Obel, and when Rebbe Yashiv went to be Menachem Obel, people would look like, what's going on over here? Like, he didn't just go around doing mitzvahs, you know, he didn't have time to go to Menachem Obel. His learning and the tirdus of the tzibur were. So he told them, they sort of, I guess they must have asked him, or they looked at him, he says, I used to learn in the same Beis Medrash with your father. And I would talk to him in learning. And I feel, what was the Lashon again, so I shouldn't misquote it? You don't know? Come on. Oh, God, he said much more than that. Anyway, but he felt that he was like a shtickle Rebbe to him. That he from his approach, the way he saw his approach to learning, he said that had Hashpah. And as I, you know, saw the world, and I see that those people that really, I want to tell you a story. Wow, this is not nice. A young man came to our yeshiva a number of years ago. Completely never had the experience of learning in any one of the Chofetz Chaim system. And I was amazed that he had a shaychus to learning, like he got it. He was bright, but he got it. Until now, I had the only... Oh boy, who's the one who asked this question? Anyway, get me in trouble here. Until now, I had thought that occasionally I would find Bali Kishrin that really had it, and I used to analyze it and say, like one Bali Kishrin once told me, one guy used to learn with him privately, very bright boy, and he looks up one day and he says, wow, he says, I'm so happy I never learned in the yeshiva when I was in high school. It was in a different high school, he says, because had I ever learned in high school, I'd never be able to do this. So I realized if you didn't learn and you had a good head and your head wasn't confused with all the Torahs and everything that you heard and hearing so much information and not really analyzing it and getting used to the state of atrophy, the brain cells where you just don't think anymore and you just hear and say and this. That wasn't nice. I apologize, okay? Anyway, so we can see here. So I say, but now I see this guy. He was learning. He learned a number of years. So I never said anything and I watched him develop over. Came a conversation. I was always wondering where did it come from. So then he says he had a Rebbe in a certain yeshiva over here who had a shaychus to this kind of learning. I said, wow, now I have a new wonder of the world. How did that happen? You know, where did that come from? So he tells me, I probed a little bit. So he says that Rebbe learnt in Brisk for 10 years with a young man by the name of Avrom Keston. Avrom is his first name? The son of Naphtali.
Oh, son.
Who? Is that his name?
I don't know.
It's a relative.
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. He said he learned with Avrom Keston for 10 years. Because Avrom Keston's father, Naphtali Keston, learned with us yet in the early days in the Blatcher. He was a big Balkishan. He was a big Masman. He really got at me. Really steiged in learning. And this guy must have learned with his father for many years, and he gave it over to his chavrusa, and his chavrusa then became the Rebbe, and he gave that. So all roads lead back to pedagogy. What? Who? Who? I met Hasidim in my lifetime. I can't remember. What? Very good. Oh, yeah. I'm sitting with my son before his bar mitzvah in Yeshiva Far Rockaway. We davened there Shabbos morning, and we're learning, a sugya for his bar mitzvah for a pshet. So there's a chassidish guy, Strymel and this everything, sitting. We were sitting here, he was sitting up over there, and he's listening. Mind your own business, you know what I mean? What are you listening over here? Okay, I didn't tell him that. But he's listening. Listen, then he starts to ask a question. Then he starts to go back and forth and this and that. Wow, very, very impressive. Very impressive. See, this guy, I didn't know him from any place, from the veldt. So I walked home, And I told my family, used to have tainus on me, because many times some of the local rabbonim or shishivas asked me to make a seder, to learn together, and I always refused. And my family had this sense that maybe I felt I wasn't good enough to learn with them. You know, I was afraid to learn with these yeshivish people. So, and I knew they always felt that way. I couldn't care less, but they felt that way. So I came home and I announced, I found a yeshiva man that I would learn with b'chavrusa. Okay, all excited. My family, oh, my stocks went up. Everybody, all of a sudden, I became a mensch. You know what I mean? Wonderful. That afternoon, I meet my friend, Eli Shapensky, and I told him, I said, I found a guy. Wow, this. He says, what are you talking about? He learned in the Rishivas Blachia for 5 years. Okay, anyway, that's the story. Right. Well, yes?
It can't be he got any way of learning from
Brest. Oh, no, I didn't say that. This, I have to tell you something. That the Briska probably have those that do it the way they did it, the closest thing to what the Rosh Hashiva had in terms of the analysis and this. You know, they certainly don't give information without thinking. There's certainly a lot of thinking and a lot of analysis in this. But there are also pedagogical skills which they may or may not have. The Rosh Hashiva took it, I think the Rosh Hashiva took his father's skills and even fine-tuned them and maybe added certain things to them. And some people say some of the things he added they wish he didn't add because it became a little more complex, the learning. But something similar. Yeah, but I didn't mean to insinuate that. No. The things that I mean to insinuate, I say almost openly. I did not mean to insinuate anything at all about that. Okay? But I'm glad you pointed it out. Is that what?
Are better at learning?
This is a very interesting group you have over here, Rabbi. A very interesting group. They will not let me get away with any nasty thing that I could possibly have said that maybe I avoided. Okay? So I'll tell you. I think that they go together. The fact that they were exposed to this pedagogically developed system is what made them into bigger Lamdom, gave them better tools of learning. Of course, if they never learn, nothing happens, you know what I mean? It's not about knowing how to learn, but you have to know how to learn to learn. But then you gotta learn, otherwise knowing how to learn is a forgotten art. If you're wild, it's just, you know. So that's number one, that the pedagogical approach that was used with them developed them or gave them the tools to become bigger. And besides that, they have a dogma of how to reproduce that for the next generation. So they have two separate and somewhat related benefits that they get in the thing. And they all do it for one tuition price. It's very interesting. They could charge double tuition, but they do it for one price. Maybe there's a less controversial topic, or should we call it an evening? No controversy?
No controversy.
I'm not afraid of controversy. You could see that.
I know that I've heard many times people say that this generation is like the ADD generation. It's very hard to focus. So when learning, you need to focus. What are the solutions to pull us out of it?
What could you do to help focus?
Yeah.
Adderall? Works? They tell me it works. I don't know. They say it works. What?
Non-drug.
Non-drug. Okay. The truth of the matter is, I didn't anticipate this, but it really has to do with the previous discussion. Because one of the advantages of interactive learning is that you force concentration. If you'll study people with ADD, you'll find that sometimes you miss that it's ADD because when you talk to them directly, they seem fine. They keep the conversation, they can concentrate for a half hour, they could do... It's only when there's a group, because then they're not the focus of the discussion, and therefore they just can't focus because they're not the front and center. So one of the things that you have to do is have more individual attention, whether it's more time with a chavrusa, whether it's more time with a private mentor, with a private rebbe. But that's something that can be very, very helpful. The second thing is that we find a confusion in the world of ADD when they say, well, what do you mean? This guy can watch a ball game and he sees every move and he remembers everything and he plays this game and he does everything and you would never tell. Yeah. When there's a higher level of motivation, there's a higher level of concentration. ADD doesn't mean he can't concentrate at all. It means it's just difficult for him and he needs maybe a higher level of motivation to stimulate the concentration than a normal person would need who doesn't have that concentration problem. So one of the other things he has to do is to be machshiv the learning more. If he really realizes what it means and how important it is, this is the tachlis of the whole bria, this is the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world in the first place, and we're only here b'shvil Yisrael, the world only exists b'shvil Yisrael, she'asasku b'atoiro, so that can help also, the more he, you know, those are some etzes.
Are smaller.
Smaller shirim, that's it.
You have interaction, but yeah. You're not interacting the whole time.
Okay, so listen, so you know, the Rosh Yeshiva used to have, some people had tainus on the Rosh Yeshiva that, you know, what do you mean you spend so much time talking to this one guy? So the Rosh Yeshiva's answer used to be, tomorrow I'll spend the time with you if you want. In other words, so even though he's not going to get every minute, but at least if he'll have a number of those positive interactions, so he'll grow from that, even though the other time he may not be paying attention, and even though he could benefit by listening to the back and forth, so he'll have that loss he'll have, but still doable. Yes? Bridge the gap between the heart and the mind. Ooh. Well, you know, the Bali Musa say that that's really what Musa is supposed to do. You know, Musa takes it, you mean from the mind to the heart, really. The things that we know intellectually, we want to get into the heart. From the heart to the mind, that works pretty well by itself. All the desires in the heart seem to control our minds. So you want to go from the heart to the, from the mind to the heart. Okay, so I want to share with you a paragraph that was edited from a book that I wrote, or a chapter or two I wrote about learning Musa. My family forced me to take it out. Right, my family is a little frumer than I am, you know what I mean? So they forced me to take it out. I had two examples of the power of learning Musa. I can't think of it. What? Oh, I can't think of the first one, which they didn't make me take out. What was that? What was the first one? Oh, yeah, the first one, yeah? The first one, something I experienced myself many years ago, many times over. And that was when I would drive in Los Angeles to a meeting, I would be listening to music, you know, Jewish music, and I'd shut off the car, and I would go to my meeting, and I would come back 2 hours, 3 hours later, and as I was putting, those days we had keys that you had to open the door with, I was putting the key in the door, I'm humming a tune. And I turn on the car, and it's that tune at that place that had just left off. And I learned from that a very interesting lesson, that music takes things subconscious, penetrates the subconscious. It's something, that's what Musa is, when Rosh Hashanah Mitzvah writes about that, how that with the learning Musa with a nigun, and an appropriate nigun, one that has the same tone, the same, you know, mood that you want to capture, and this is, that helps. So that's one lesson I learned. Then the other lesson, which the kandoyim, the fumla, they made me take out of the book, and that was, let me offer you two scenarios. Scenario number one, you know somebody comes to your door, maybe wants some money, whatever it is, and he tells you a story of human suffering to the nth degree. You know what he wants. You really don't want to let him finish the story. This, you have no patience. You have no this. And even if you know it, and even if it's somebody you know, oy vey, I feel very bad. Okay, fine. But I live through it. Then I go to the movies. That's why they made me take it out. Refer to the movies. So I say, I'm just sitting in this movie, and I see the same kind of a story. And I'm crying away like a baby. I can't control myself. I can't. I'm bawling. I'm sobbing. They're ready to throw me out of the movie theater. What's the difference? The difference is that the story, I heard somebody tell a story, I know the person, and it was real, but the movie, big screen, 3D, I don't know how many dimensions, whatever, music exactly appropriate to the mood of the story, and I see everything, and I hear it, and I feel, and I'm focused, and I paid a lot of money to get there, so I'm paying attention, and there's an interesting storyline. This is the punchline of the, or the climax of the story that was intriguing me the whole time, and this, it's a whole different story. So we see that to the degree that we focus with tzir chushi means real picturing that you can almost touch. It's a reality. The svasayim dolkos. My lips are burning with fervor about the message that I'm talking about. And I do it with a niggun, with the appropriate tune, so it penetrates the subconscious. That's how Musar takes the information from here and takes it, what the Bali Musar called, the longest distance in the world, to influence the heart. So that's what learning Musar is about. Not by learning Musar is not by going to the movies. That's what's, if anyone got that message, then it's too late at night that we should really call it quits. But that's a methodology by which it works. Anything else or okay? It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I wish you hatzlocha.